KALW.
I mean, we're locked into climate change, right? Nobody's really doing much, so seas keep getting higher.
We hear how one coastal town sees climate change as a glass half full.
I'm talking about meeting this moment. If we let the town flood, we can become the biggest tourist attraction in the bay. The way I see it, we could be the Venice of the West.
A trip to San Pippo. Then, practical advice on combating airline anxiety.
I fit Sparky in my Prius. I sure as hell could have fit him on my lap. Plus, there were open seats on the flight.
And we'll hear from the first user of the new Google Brain.
I mean, what's the difference between carrying a computer in your hand or in your head?
It's a very special episode today. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. The tiny town of San Pippo lies in lowlands, smack dab between Marin and Sonoma counties. It's mostly known for smelling fishy during king tides. In fact, recent heavy rains literally turned its streets into canals. It's a devastating effect of climate change. But civic leaders don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I took a trip up to the North Bay to bring you this story. San Pippo Mayor Bonnie Doon is on the phone. She's sitting in her tiny office in a double-wide trailer perched on cinder blocks above rippling waters, the aftermath of another storm surge in this low-lying part of the bay.
Yes, yeah, I hear you. No, we're not canceling school today. Kids can wade there. You should have come to our rubber overshoe giveaway in February.
She fields a lot of calls like this, from local residents struggling with the effects of sea level rise.
I mean, it is what it is. Somebody's got to govern, right?
Bonnie looks out her window at San Pippo's main street, which is lightly flooded. A woman kayaks by with two small children in front of her. She waves. Bonnie waves back. She looks beyond to smokestacks from the Chevron refinery across the bay.
I mean, we're locked into climate change, right? Nobody's really doing much, so seas keep getting higher. But we are not going to take this sitting down. No, sir. I mean, we can't because we'd get soaked.
A few weeks ago, on a rainy winter evening, Bonnie was presiding over a city council meeting with the two other council members. Her husband,
Johnny Doon, present.
And his ex-wife.
I'm here. Connie Doon Chalamet.
Okay, everybody. So the drought's over, and clearly that's not good for us. San Francisco is looking at building a seawall around the Embarcadero to keep the water out.
Bonnie, they've got a $14 billion budget and the Speaker of the House. All we've got is a bunch of Doons.
That's Doon Chalamet, Johnny.
I won't disagree. They've got privilege. But that doesn't mean we can't make things happen. In fact, all this rain turned a light bulb on in my head. I think San Francisco's doing it all wrong. Instead of trying to fight nature and hold the water back, what if we lean into sea level rise?
What are you talking about, Bonnie?
I'm talking about meeting this moment, Connie. If we let the town flood, we can become the biggest tourist attraction in the bay. The way I see it, we could be the Venice of the West. That's right. We dam the water in.
Damn.
That's right, Johnny. We dam it in. We get rid of the cars and we bring in boats.
Ooh, like Venice.
Yes, we get a fleet of gondolas and we train the good people of San Pippo to be gondoliers.
Hot damn.
Johnny.
The way I see it, this is our chance. We feed two birds with one scone. Not only do we stop having to bail out the town, we also provide some jobs and a new stream of income. It'll be a renaissance.
That's brilliant.
Thank you, Connie.
It's just crazy enough to work.
Maybe. Well, let's put this to a vote. All in favor of damming the water into the town, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, it's unanimous.
Of course, it wasn't quite that easy. You can't build levees around a town to keep it permanently flooded just like that. There are rules, and you have to do some research. So the city council members booked a junket to Italy to look into what makes Venice, Venice.
All right, here we are.
Where's the gelato?
We should have at least flown business class. I'm so stiff.
Venice, Italy. How romantic.
It's not romantic, Johnny. It's Venetian.
Before the trip, Bonnie Doon had invited Venice Mayor Luigi Brugnaro for a sister cityship, but he didn't respond to her email. So they hired a tour guide at the airport to show them around.
Hey, you're gonna love Venice.
Wait. Are you actually Italian?
Yeah, Bensonhurst. You got a problem with that?
You don't have an accent.
Grazie, signorina, okay? That's very kind of you. Hey, you must be hungry.
You betcha.
My cousin runs a great restaurant here. Real deal Italian cuisine. We'll go there first.
Okay.
After an extremely expensive meal, the Dunes and Dune Chalamet took in some sights.
This is the Canal Grande.
Ooh.
Hey, over there, that's the Doge's Palace.
Wow.
Nice.
This is the Pizza San Marco.
I think that's Piazza.
Yeah, whatever. You say tomato. Hey, I'm hungry. You hungry? I know this restaurant over here. My other cousin runs the joint.
The group enjoyed several pricey meals over the next few days and saw other sights. The Ponte de Rialto, the nearby glass-blowing village of Murano.
Hey, maybe we should rename our town Marino.
We don't blow glass, Johnny.
You know, that's not a half bad idea.
And before they knew it, their whirlwind trip was over and they were on their way back to the bay. Soon after, Bonnie Doon called a special meeting of the city council.
Okay, everybody. So we went to Venice, and I think it's a go. Connie?
Yes, they've got buildings, like us.
And they're inundated with seawater.
Right. So we wanted to let you all know that we're moving forward. Johnny ordered a ton of sandbags to get us started.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute. Supply chain issues. Seems like everybody wants sandbags these days.
Well, anyway, that's just one part of our plan. But here's the thing. To make sure people really know what we're all about, I think we need to make it crystal clear.
What do you mean, Bonnie?
I mean, I think we need to make sure the name of the town reflects our role as a tourist attraction. So we need to change the name of San Pippo.
I've been thinking that for a long time. You know, ever since cancel culture put the Catholics out of fashion, and who the hell was San Pippo anyway?
Yes, see? It's another opportunity.
I've got it. Waterworld.
This isn't a Six Flags situation, Johnny.
Okay, let's get some public comment on this one.
Well, we're kind of straddling Marin County and Sonoma County, so what if we called it something like Marinoma?
That sounds nasty. I wouldn't want to catch that.
What if you just reversed it? Sonomarin. Or you could shorten it to Sin.
I think you're missing the point. We need a name that says Sunken City Tourist Attraction.
Atlantis?
Too morbid.
How about Venice?
There's already a Venice.
Well, how about Venice City?
Not bad. There's already a Marin City.
Daly City.
Foster City.
Redwood City.
Right. But this one would make people think of
Venice.
But there's already a Venice in California. Venice Beach.
Who cares about Southern California? All right, council members. All in favor of renaming our town Venice City, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous.
Bonnie filed the paperwork to change the name of San Pippo to Venice City. But the state's nomenclature department is notoriously slow issuing permits. Other towns can file for discretionary review. Scott Wiener's office is working on a fast-tracking plan. Meanwhile, some townspeople have already been trying to capitalize on the new identity. A pop-up tent outside the mayor's double-wide trailer is selling $10 t-shirts that say London, Paris, Rome, Venice City. A specialty shop that makes origami kayaks took over a local warehouse. And a farm-to-table Italian restaurant called Pizza San Marco is scheduled to open next month. Otherwise, it's pretty much business as usual in this little town you may not have heard of yet. Kids trudge to school in their hip waders, and Mayor Bonnie Doone stares out her window at the refineries, imagining the day climate change makes her dreams come true. In San Pippo, I'm Ben Trefney for Cross Currents. San Pippo's Environmental Review begins today, April 1st. They will be holding public comment next week at their hybrid community center and public saltwater pool. This is a very special Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. Airlines have been making the news lately for all the wrong reasons. Earlier this year, hundreds of flights were canceled across the U.S. after a door plug fell off an airplane, exposing 170 passengers to frigid, fast-moving air.
Crazy story all around, and now a school teacher in Portland, Oregon, found the Alaska Airlines door plug in his backyard. Another person found one of two cell phones that fell out of the plane. The National Transportation.
This might make some passengers anxious to fly. And for some, there's a solution for that. The ESA, or Emotional Support Animal. Airlines are actually legally obligated to allow ESAs to accompany passengers with disabilities. In similar cases, airlines allowed a turkey, a potbelly pig, and a miniature horse aboard as ESAs. Last week, however, one San Francisco-based airliner appears to have drawn a line by barring a passenger from bringing a so-called miniature sea lion aboard a flight destined for Hawaii. Now that passenger is suing the airline on grounds of discrimination. Reporter Ted Muldoon brings us this story.
Paula Boynton has never flown with her sea lion, but she's never flown without him either. So this week she filed a discrimination suit against the airline Linear for having prevented her emotional support animal from boarding a flight to Hawaii. Paula has owned her miniature sea lion, Sparky, for 2 years now.
I don't say own. Our relationship is too symbiotic.
That's Paula. She brings Sparky basically everywhere.
The salon, the grocery store, the De Young. Granted, I've never tried to fly with him before, but Sparky and I are joined at the flipper, as I like to say. So you can imagine, I was just horrified when they told me that I couldn't bring Sparky to Hawaii. He's a miniature sea lion, for crying out loud.
When Ms. Boynton says miniature, keep in mind that the animal in question still weighs in excess of 200 pounds.
Larry Blonsky is Linear's spokesperson, and he's right about Sparky's weight. Then again, male California sea lions like Sparky have an average weight of 660 pounds. So, relatively speaking, Sparky qualifies as rather miniature.
He was so small, I just couldn't bear to leave him alone.
Paula Boynton again.
So it was a super rainy day at Pier 39. And you know, I was down there watching the sea lions like I usually do. And then I spotted him, sitting there, all alone, away from the rest of the sea lions. And you know, sea lions are like crazy social animals, so I could tell just right away he wasn't gonna make it. There was something in his eyes that screamed, "Help!" So I lured him. Well, lured sounds a bit creepy. I mean, I guided Sparky back to my Prius with a trail of sardines. He basically imprinted on me right away.
Your Prius? Don't seals weigh like 600 pounds?
You mean miniature sea lion? Yeah, it was a tight fit. Sparky, he gives me so much comfort. I think it's because we both have so much in common. Small people and a family of giants, like me with my family. It's always been hard to measure up.
Paula comes from a long line of sea lion trainers.
Well, of course. My father was a sea lion trainer. My grandfather was a trainer. My grandfather, he used to say,
"Baby girl, sea lions are in our blood."
Since the late 1800s, the Boyntons have been in the business of aquatic circus. Paula's grandfather started the first amusement park in North America at Coney Island called the Sea Lion Park.
My grandfather was a legend in his day. He was very innovative.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the sea lion has a biting force of 3,250 pounds per square inch. Watch in amazement as I place my full arm inside this creature's mouth.
Yeah, he lost his right hand that day,
But that's show business. He just became more reliant on sea lions to help him around the house. Strengthened his bond, really.
Today, the Boytons are moguls in the lotion industry.
Have you tried our product? Sea lion lotion? My dad invented it in the 80s. Just look at my feet. See? No calluses. Lotion just dissolves them off. It's so versatile. It's very popular as an industrial solvent, you know. When I think about everything sea lions have done for my family over the years, I'm sorry. I'm getting choked up.
Sparky is more than a pet for Paula. He connects her with her family's legacy. Paula claims that Lanier's decision regarding Sparky violates the Air Carrier Access Act of 1986, or ACAA, which states,
"Carriers shall permit a service animal to accompany a qualified individual with a disability in any seat in which the person sits, unless the animal obstructs an aisle or other area that must remain unobstructed in order to facilitate an emergency evacuation."
Oh yeah, I just couldn't do it without Sparky. Just couldn't go on.
Paula claims that being separated from Sparky causes her extreme emotional distress and constitutes a disability.
Don't take my word for it. I consulted with a medical professional. I found him on the internets.
But her distress aside, Lanier defends their decision on the basis that Sparky could not fit on Paula's lap and therefore would create unsafe evacuation conditions in case of an emergency landing. Paula had this to add.
That's bull. I fit Sparky in my Prius. I sure as hell could have fit him on my lap. Plus, there were open seats on the flight.
Which complies with the ACAA.
If a service animal cannot be accommodated at the seat location of the qualified individual with a disability whom the animal is accompanying, the carrier shall offer the passenger the opportunity to move with the animal to a seat location, if present on the aircraft, where the animal can be accommodated.
So on a flight with open seats, Sparky may deserve a spot, legally speaking. And as for the safety concerns?
I don't buy this emergency evacuation line for a second. We were flying to Hawaii. If we crashed, it would be in the ocean. And if that happened, people would be praying he was on board. With his training, Sparky would be the frickin' Simon Birch of sea lions.
Larry Blonsky of Lanier rattled off a number of reasons why a sea lion can't come on a plane.
This may come as a surprise, but there is, in fact, very little research on the effects of altitude on sea lions, such as what if the recycled air were to dry out the animal's skin? We can't have our attendants running a bucket brigade of complimentary water cups for the duration of the flight.
Ultimately, he only had this to say in response to the lawsuit.
Look, it's simple, really. Our argument is that it's a sea lion.
So where will this all go? Only time will tell. The future is uncertain. For Cross Currents, I'm Ted Muldoon. Sea lion.
Sea lion. Thanks, Ted. In light of recent news reports on airline unreliability, major carriers have announced they will be raising the weight limit of emotional support animals to 600 pounds. You're listening to a very special Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. This year, science fiction became science fact. The first human patient implanted with a brain chip from Elon Musk's Neuralink appears to have fully recovered and is able to control a computer mouse using their thoughts.
Musk saying the person is recovering well. Initial results show promising neuron spike detection.
Gone are the days of typing with fingers. Now you can compose emails, texts, or posts with a mere thought. Just think send, and voila! Your message zips off into the digital ether. And this space of augmented reality is getting crowded. Google just entered the space with a more advanced product, the Google Brain. I sat down with Alexis Channing Sorkel, the first recipient of the still in beta product, to search her brain.
Thanks for joining us, Alexis. I hope you found us okay.
Oh yeah, no problem. I took one of three suggested routes, which only took me 23 minutes in current traffic.
Oh, great. So tell me, we already live in a world where we can have the internet at our fingertips with smartphones, with tablets. Why did you think it was necessary to take this leap, to put the internet directly into your head?
I mean, what's the difference between carrying a computer in your hand or in your head? At least when it's in your head, you can still look up and take in the world around you.
So does that mean you think having a computer brain actually makes you more human than people who are glued to smartphones?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, over 1 billion people now have smartphones, according to a CBS News report on October 17th, 2012, so...
I'm sorry, wait, did you just Google that?
Yeah.
So can you pretty much Google anything just by thinking about it?
Yeah, but it's called G-thinking. The patented term for Google Thoughts is G-thoughts.
Okay, so can you G-think something for me right now?
Sure.
All right. How long is the...
How long should you microwave a burrito? How long is the Brooklyn Bridge? How long should you keep a monkey locked up?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, predictive search can get a little out of control. They're working on that bug.
That's Alexis Channing Sorkel. She's the first recipient of the new Google Brain, which is still in beta testing, but she's here to tell us her experience. So Alexis, you tweeting much now?
Constantly.
Is it interesting?
Nope.
Facebooking?
Like you wouldn't believe. I'm videotaping this interview right now and live logging it at channingsorkel.com. It's basically let me take social media to a whole new level, Ben. My friends and followers get to experience every single aspect of my life in excruciating detail. Sometimes I go out to dinner just to take pictures of the food. I'm actually on the all Instagram diet right now and I look fabulous.
Indeed. What are some of the challenges having a Google Brain poses for you? Miss Channing Sorkel?
I'm sorry. I'm having a little bit of a slow connection here. What's your wireless password again?
Don't worry about it. We're almost finished. Maybe you could just answer this with your actual brain. What are some of the challenges that you're facing with the Google Brain?
I have to be really careful about where my mind wanders. Otherwise, it can lead to some unintended searches.
I see. So you're screening your thoughts all the time?
Yeah. Well, oh no. I'm so sorry. I can't help it. I can't even have my own thoughts anymore. There's ads everywhere. I'm not feeling lucky. Don't be evil.
What do you think of the idea of implanting the internet directly into your brain? Let us know on our Facebook page. We're at KALW. Oh, that was fast, Alexis. Thanks for your thoughts. Oh, another post. Well, we could talk about that later. I hardly think this is the right form. Wait, Miss Channing Sorkel. This isn't Hinge, all right? You've been listening to a very special Cross Currents. Now, before we go, let's listen to some local music. That's the Parrots of Telegraph Hill. They're based out of San Francisco. They appear regularly in their namesake neighborhood, and they also tour other parts of the city, especially this time of year. They're street musicians, or tree musicians if you prefer, so you'll just have to keep an ear open for them. You've been listening to a very special edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. The team includes Sarah Jesse, Lena Nagia Basuni.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our regular program to bring you a special news bulletin direct from Intercontinental Radio News. At 25 minutes after 11 a.m. Pacific time, an observatory on Twin Peaks reported several explosions of incandescent gas occurring at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The spectroscope indicates the gas to be hydrogen and moving towards the Earth at incredible velocity. A Stanford observatory confirms the report and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flames shot from a gun, unquote.
All right. Thank you, Suni Khalid. Stay tuned to KALW News for updates. Now, back to the credits. James Rollins, Gonady Joe Johnson, Victor Tense, Shireen Adel, Lisa Morehouse, Angela Johnston, and Hana Baba. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.